Lobo, the King of Currumpaw, by Ernest Seton Thompson. Currumpaw is a vast cattle range in northern New Mexico. It is a land of rich pastures and teeming flocks and herds, a land of rolling mesas and precious running waters that at length unite in the Currumpaw River, from which the whole region is named. And the king, whose despotic power was felt over its entire extent, was an old gray wolf. Old Lobo, or the king, as the Mexicans called him, was the gigantic leader of a remarkable pack of gray wolves that had ravaged the Currumpaw Valley for a number of years. All the shepherds and ranchmen knew him well, and wherever he appeared with his trusty band, terror reigned supreme among the cattle, and wrath and despair among the owners. Old Lobo was a giant among wolves, and was cunning and strong in proportion to his size. His voice at night was well known and easily distinguished from that of any of his fellows. An ordinary wolf might howl half the night about the herdsman's bivouac without attracting more than a passing notice. But when the deep roar of the old king came booming down the canyon, the watcher bestirred himself and prepared to learn in the morning that fresh and serious inroads had been made among the herds. Old Lobo's band was but a small one. This I never quite understood, for usually, when a wolf rises to the position of power that he had, he attracts a numerous following. It may be that he had as many as he desired, or perhaps his ferocious temper prevented the increase of his pack. Certain it is that Lobo had only 5 followers during the latter part of his reign. Each of these, however, was a wolf of renown. Most of them were above the ordinary size. One in particular, the second in command, was a veritable giant, but even he was far below the leader in size and prowess. Several of the band, besides the 2 leaders, were especially noted. One of those was a beautiful white wolf, which the Mexicans called Blanca, which was supposed to be a female, possibly Lobo's mate. Another was a yellow wolf of remarkable swiftness, which, according to current stories, had on several occasions captured an antelope for the pack. It will be seen, then, that these wolves were thoroughly well known by the cowboys and shepherds. They were frequently seen and often heard, and their lives were intimately associated with those of the cattlemen, who would so gladly have destroyed them. There was not a stockman on the Currumpaw who would not readily have given the value of many steers for the scalp of any one of Lobo's band, but they seemed to possess charmed lives and defied all manner of devices to kill them. They scorned all hunters, derided all poisons, and continued, for at least 5 years, to exact their tribute from the Currumpaw ranchers to the extent, many said, of a cow each day. According to this estimate, therefore, the band had killed more than 2,000 of the finest stock, for, as was only too well known, they selected the best in every instance. The old idea that a wolf was constantly in a starving state and therefore ready to eat anything, was as far as possible from the truth in this case, for these freebooters were always sleek and well-conditioned and were, in fact, most fastidious about what they ate. Any animal that had died from natural causes or that was diseased or tainted, they would not touch. They even rejected anything that had been killed by the stockmen. Their choice and daily food was the tenderer part of a freshly killed yearling heifer. An old bull or cow they disdained. And though they occasionally took a young calf or colt, it was quite clear that veal or horse flesh was not their favorite diet. It was also known that they were not fond of mutton, although they often amused themselves by killing sheep. One night in November, 1893, Blanca and the yellow wolf killed 250 sheep, apparently for the fun of it, and did not eat an ounce of their flesh. These are the examples of many stories which I might repeat to show the ravages of this destructive band. Many new devices for their extinction were tried each year, but still they lived and throve in spite of all the efforts of their foes. A great price was set on Lobo's head, and in consequence, poison in a score of subtle forms was put out for him, but he never failed to detect and avoid it. One thing only he feared, that was the firearms, and knowing full well that all men in this region carried them, he never was known to attack or face a human being. Indeed, the set policy of his band was to take refuge in flight whenever, in the daytime, a man was descried, no matter at what distance. Lobo's habit of permitting the pack to eat only that which they themselves had killed was in numerous cases their salvation. And the keenness of his scent to detect the taint of human hands or the poison itself completed their immunity.